Donald Trump takes the oath of office.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
And with a new president comes new executive orders.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
And the temperature may have moved the inauguration ceremony inside, but that didn't dampen the enthusiasm of those who came to watch.
It really is cold, so I've seen a lot of bundled up people, but you know, people are taking it in stride, honestly. A lot of people that I talked to said, at least I'm here. At least I'm here also just in person.
Today is Tuesday, January 21st, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Steve Karish. Monday in Washington, Donald Trump called for a revolution of common sense in his inaugural address after he took the oath of office to become the 47th president of the United States. The swearing-in marked his remarkable return to power since losing his second-term bid to Joe Biden in 2020. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara has this report.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States.
So help me God.
He vowed to fulfill campaign promises and called for a revolution of common sense, including cracking down on illegal immigration.
I will declare a national emergency at our southern border. We will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. I will send troops to the southern border to repel the disastrous invasion of our country.
As in his 2017 inaugural address, Trump lamented the failures of his predecessor. He promised to slash the federal budget and roll back legal protections for transgender Americans.
As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Trump comes to power amid continuing conflict in Ukraine and a fragile ceasefire in Gaza.
We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into.
He repeated his intention to reclaim control of the Panama Canal.
China is operating the Panama Canal, and we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back.
All living presidents attended the inauguration, along with foreign dignitaries from Argentina, China, and Italy, as well as tech billionaires and Trump donors Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Mark Zuckerberg. The inauguration ceremony was moved inside the Capitol due to weather. Not all of Trump's supporters were able to watch from the Capitol One Arena, a nearby indoor stadium. They have high expectations.
Freedom back in our country, safety back in our country, closed borders, and peace through strength in the world.
Earlier on Monday, outgoing President Joe Biden hosted Trump for morning tea at the White House, despite the harsh words the two men have traded. It's one of many transfer of power traditions. Trump did not participate in any during Biden's 2021 inauguration. Trump has warned of retribution, and minutes before leaving office, Biden pardoned key figures in his administration and family members. Biden has called Trump a threat to democracy. On January 6, 2021, Trump supporters swarmed the Capitol to overturn Biden's 2020 victory. Trump has pledged to pardon some of those convicted.
Never again will the immense power of the state be weaponized to persecute political opponents.
Also following tradition, Trump and his Vice President J.D. Vance attended a luncheon with members of Congress. He is entering office with his Republican Party holding the majority in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News, Washington.
President Donald Trump pledged to rescue America from what he described as years of betrayal and decline after he was sworn in as president on Monday. Included in the executive orders Trump signed on Monday night are withdrawing the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord and the World Health Organization, pardoning the January 6th rioters, establishing the Department of Government Efficiency, and attempting to delay the ban on TikTok. Alex Cohen of Reuters has more.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Donald Trump became the 47th president of the United States Monday. His inauguration completes a triumphant return for a political disruptor who was twice impeached, convicted in a criminal trial, and faced charges for attempting to overturn his 2020 election loss.
For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day.
He lined up hundreds of executive orders to put his stamp on his new administration on matters ranging from energy to immigration.
I will declare a national emergency at our southern border.
Some of his other orders included slashing diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and proclaiming the U.S. government will only recognize two sexes, male and female, that cannot be changed, according to an incoming White House official.
As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Trump did not immediately impose new tariffs. A source told Reuters he will instead direct federal agencies to evaluate trade relationships with Canada, China, and Mexico. The unexpected development led to a slide in the U.S. dollar and a rally in global stock markets on a day when U.S. financial markets were closed for Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Alex Cohen of Reuters reporting for us. A new president in the United States is a big deal around the world, no matter who was sworn in. When that person has made threatening and controversial remarks about the U.S.'s friends and allies, foreign leaders are perhaps a bit more cautious than they might ordinarily be on Inauguration Day. And as my next guest says, European leaders are taking a wait-and-see approach. Sonia Dean is an editor with Politico. She's based in Brussels.
My sense is that the European capitals were just waiting to see what comes next. There's a sense of insecurity and unpredictability and sort of volatility that comes with this administration. There have been some signals in certain directions, and I think European governments are watching to see whether those statements and campaign promises will be followed by action that actually implements the specific policies toward that end.
Sonia, we've seen over the past couple of years here in the United States with Trump's election in France, in Italy, in parts of Germany, and more recently Austria, a shifting to the right in electoral politics. Is Europe more prepared to deal with a right-wing American government now than they would have been a few years ago or for Trump's first term?
I would say not, because it's absolutely true that especially far-right political parties have increased their share of votes and have become more popular in the past years, but that does not necessarily mean that they're in government. So there's what they call the cordon sanitaire or the firewall, where basically mainstream center-right, center-left parties say, we refuse to work with the far-right. And so they've kind of been shut out of politics. None of them have gained actually an absolute majority. They have to work with others. And this is the advantage of the parliamentary systems in Europe, is that the parties have to work together. And it kind of helps to moderate, you know, the far right and the far left, because they have, if they want to be a part of the government, then they have to work together.
Sonia Dean is an editor for Politico. She's based in Brussels. Ms. Dean, thanks for your reporting. Thanks for your analysis today.
Thanks to you, Steve.
And here are some more stories we're following from around the world. Southern Californians are bracing for gusty winds and a heightened risk of wildfires less than 2 weeks after the outbreak of deadly blazes that have already killed 27 people and charred thousands of homes and businesses. The National Weather Service has issued a warning for parts of Los Angeles and Ventura counties due to low humidity and damaging Santa Ana winds. Gusts could reach over 110 kilometers per hour along the coast and up to 160 kilometers per hour in the mountains and foothills. The warnings come as firefighters are still battling two major blazes in the Los Angeles area that have destroyed more than 14,000 structures since January 7th. Human Rights Watch, in its World Report 2025, warned of the worsening human rights situation in Iran. Citing evidence and reports, the organization highlights intensified repression of women and girls, a rise in execution, a lack of fair trials, harassment of activists, students, journalists, and justice-seeking families, as well as continued discrimination against the LGBTQ plus community by the Islamic Republic in 2024. An official Chinese document obtained by VOA indicates that Beijing appears to be taking broader measures to monitor overseas Chinese. The document, titled Xinjiang Immigration Inspection Data Analysis Research Cooperation, lists the names and personal information of more than 100 Chinese citizens living abroad. VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Steve Karish. Trump's inauguration was moved inside because of the freezing cold temperatures. It reached around negative 6 degrees Celsius, but that didn't stop some people from stepping out to try to see what they think is history in the making. The cold also didn't stop VOA's senior national correspondent Carolyn Pursuti from speaking with them.
It really is cold, so I've seen a lot of bundled up people, but you know, people are taking it in stride, honestly. A lot of people that I talked to said, at least I'm here. At least I'm here also just in person to see the Capitol and to see the Washington site. A lot of people over by the Capitol One Arena, which is about 3 kilometers away from where I stand, were disappointed, though, that they could not get inside just momentarily to see Donald Trump speak to his supporters and then watch the indoor parade. Apparently, the fire marshal stopped the line from going in when they got to capacity. And so that left tens of thousands of people outside. They're milling about, they're buying souvenirs. So, but people in stride, I talked to a lot of people from Florida who say, we are dealing with the weather because we really believe in Donald Trump. They specifically point out that they are anxious for him to install a more closed border and to get on with his new border rules. So those are the people from Florida said. People from Massachusetts got in to hear his rally yesterday, and they said they were very happy to hear him speak then, but it was just too cold to stand in line so long, and at times that was all night in order to get into the Capitol One Arena today to watch him live streamed with his swearing in and then to come there and address them before the parade.
Now, Carolyn, what was happening on the mall? What was happening outside while the inauguration ceremony was happening?
So when this inauguration was first scheduled, there were huge jumbotrons erected on the mall. And there are some 48 kilometers of tall, non-scalable fencing around the mall. Once they moved this inauguration inside, it became clear that they didn't quite need all this fencing. And so they took some of it down. A lot of it is still standing around where I am. But they also took the jumbotrons down. So that meant people that came to the mall expecting to see the swearing in on those jumbotrons were disappointed that they couldn't see anything. And of course, they looked toward the Capitol and they saw empty seats because the swearing in wasn't being held outside. So what happened was you had the group of people, maybe I'd say 200 people, toward the end of the fencing closest to the Capitol, just kind of staring up at the Capitol and cheering or commenting. And then you had a group of stragglers back from them. And I kind of wondered what the stragglers were doing. So I milled through the people there only to find out that they were listening and they were watching on their cell phones. So they wanted to be away from the crowds so that they could concentrate on the swearing in. So that's what they were doing. And they were witnessing history, of course, by saying that they not only saw it on their phone, but they were standing on the Washington Mall, not too far where the actual swearing in was taking place.
You didn't see any protests, any violence, any kind of civil disobedience?
No violence, no civil disobedience whatsoever, and actually no protests in the two areas that I was. I was in the in the mall area in front of the Capitol, on the west side of the Capitol. And then I was over by the Capitol One Arena, nothing. And I didn't talk to anyone who was not a Trump supporter. Many of these people wearing Trump Vance hats, carrying flags, and just wrapped up, you know, and a lot of them wrapped up in Trump flags as well.
So despite the disappointment of not being able to see the inauguration as it was moved inside, everybody was on good behavior and behaving civilly.
Absolutely. All that I saw. Now, also, you have to remember that we have 25,000 law enforcement officers here in town just to make sure that everything is peaceful. And so far, they've done a good job of it.
VOA's Carolyn Pursuti has been outside on the National Mall all day. Carolyn, it's awfully cold. Grab some hot chocolate.
That sounds good. Pleasure to be with you, though, Steve. Take care.
During the campaign, Trump said he could end Russia's war in Ukraine in 24 hours. He's since walked that back a little, but ending the war does remain one of his highest priorities. And as our Kyiv correspondent Anna Chernikova reports, just as there is hope in Ukraine that the war will end soon, there is also concern about how it will end.
The moment President Donald Trump was sworn in as the 47th President of the United States, Ukraine entered the period of anticipation of what would be his first steps in regard to the Russia-Ukraine war. Many in Ukraine have expectations Trump will be able to end the war and reach an agreement between Ukraine and Russia, putting pressure on both Russian President Putin and Ukrainian President Zelensky. However, there is also fear that Trump will force Ukrainian leadership to make unacceptable concessions to make a peace deal happen. VOA talked to people in Kyiv, where many hope Donald Trump will be able to ensure long-term peace in Ukraine with security guarantees, and that a fair peace deal is in Trump's and American interests.
Я сподіваюся на якісь позитивні зміни в контексті припинення війни.
Кирило says he hopes for positive changes regarding the Russia-Ukraine war, but admits Ukraine is more likely to make a difficult and painful decision giving up territory. He adds that if this decision would end the killing of Ukrainians, this would be a positive turn.
Трамп дуже непередбачуваний, людина непередбачувана, але...
Ірина said that Trump is unpredictable, but a patriot of his country. She believes that the defeat of Ukraine and the failure of democracy here is not in America's interest, and that Trump will do what is in his capacity to ensure Ukraine wins.
Я дуже сподіваюся, що Трамп допоможе якомога швидше завершити війну.
Victoria says that as a mother of a three-year-old, she hopes Trump will end the war as soon as possible. She said a lot of children have died because of Russian aggression, and more will die, and that she hopes those deaths were not in vain. But she emphasized that her main wish is that the end of the war will be achieved with confidence in the future for Ukraine, and that the war will not be back to Ukraine.
Інаугурація нового президента Сполучених Штатів Дональда Трампа, він сильна людина. Я бажаю.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky congratulated Donald Trump and the American people on the inauguration. He said that Donald Trump is a strong man and wished him and America success. Zelensky said Ukrainians are ready to work together with Americans to achieve real peace, and that this is a chance for Ukraine that must be seized. During his inaugural speech, President Trump did not mention the Russia-Ukraine war specifically, but he spoke about ending war more broadly.
We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into.
Experts in Ukraine believe that Trump's first steps toward forcing a negotiation to end the Russia-Ukraine war will be seen soon, and the pressure on Zelensky and Russian President Vladimir Putin will increase. Anna Chernikova, VOA News, Kyiv.
As we reported on Monday's show, the Israel-Hamas ceasefire began on Sunday. Palestinians return to their shattered homes on Monday as attention begins to shift to the challenging task of rebuilding. Reuters' Diane Toh reports.
Many Gazans displaced by war returned to their hometowns on Monday, only to find everything demolished. In central Gaza's Al Buraj, this man said the area looked like it was hit by a devastating earthquake. And it's even worse in North Gaza, another man said. After a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas took effect on Sunday, attention now shifts to the rebuilding of the coastal enclave. A United Nations damage assessment released this month estimated that 50 million tons of rubble have been left in the aftermath of Israel's bombardment. That could take 21 years to clear and cost up to $1.2 billion. Some of the debris is also believed to be contaminated with asbestos. Meanwhile, a growth in the flow of aid has come as great relief for Gazans who have been battling hunger and the winter cold. Desperate residents were seen rushing towards trucks carrying food and fuel from across the Rafah border on Monday. 600 truckloads of aid are now allowed into Gaza every day of the initial six-week ceasefire. Half of the aid trucks would be delivered to the north, where experts have warned famine is imminent. After 15 months of war, many are just happy for some quiet. This mother of nine described her family's first night of feeling at ease without the constant sounds of bombing and ambulance sirens. But the heaviness of war still weighs on her. There will be scars because we lost so many of our beloved ones, she said. There will be as much sadness and pain as there is joy.
That's Diane Toe of Reuters reporting for us. There was relief and happiness for Israelis and Palestinians as a planned six-week ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas began on Sunday. Hamas released three female hostages, and Israel freed 90 Palestinian prisoners. Many Israelis credit Donald Trump with achieving the deal. Linda Gradstein reports from Tel Aviv.
Amit Susana is a former hostage who was released in the only other ceasefire deal. She is from the same Kfar Aza kibbutz as two of the newly freed hostages. At a hostage square rally the night before, she thanked U.S. Presidents Biden and Trump for their mediation in reaching a deal.
Your leadership and commitment have been instrumental in reaching this crucial step. However, we urge you to continue your efforts in ensuring the completion of the second phase of the deal.
A total of 33 Israeli hostages, alive and dead, are expected to be released during the first six-week phase of the deal. During this time, negotiators will work on the second phase, which calls for a permanent ceasefire, the release of the 65 remaining hostages, and a complete Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. Many of the families of hostages worry that if the deal collapses before the second phase, the remaining hostages could be lost forever in Gaza. Omri Lifshitz's 84-year-old father is among the 33 hostages due to be released in the first phase.
First phase is 33, and we need them all back, so we're going to fight for the second phase. We hope President Trump will keep push for end this war and push for the deal to go to second phase.
Together with the release of the first three Israeli hostages, Israel freed 90 West Bank Palestinian women and minors from Israeli jails. Under the terms of the ceasefire and hostage release deal, Israel will free about 1,900 Palestinian prisoners, some of them serving life sentences for murdering Israelis. Hanan Ma'alwani is one of those who were released.
Our joy is incomplete because of what happened to the people of Gaza and their martyrs, and because of the female prisoners who remained behind us in prison.
Analysts caution that there is still a long way to go before the war officially ends and all hostages are freed. They say that beyond the initial euphoria, the next 6 weeks are likely to be a time of increased tension in Israel and the West Bank. The Israeli public is divided about the dangers of ending the war and releasing so many Palestinians with blood on their hands. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Tel Aviv.
And that's going to wrap it up for us today. This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thanks for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform and online at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Steve Karish.